Okay, two topics we're going to be covering over the course of this afternoon. You can hold on to that. One is going to be Kohenis in terms of Matnas Kohuna. The second topic is Matnas Shelo Hormu. Okay, so let's cover this topic by topic. Marmakamas that I handed out has sources for both topics. The first topic is a Kohenis. Okay. Matanos are given to a Kohen. That part's clear. And Kuflam Gimelman Beis. So the Gemara is going to go through all 24 Matnas Kohuna. They can be put into different categories. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a couple minutes from now. But in the meantime, however, so these are all part of the benefits of being a Kohen, that you get all these matanos. So it's a simple question. If you are, let's say, a Bas Kohen. So if you're a Bas Kohen, so that means you're also a Kohen. So are you entitled to receive these matanos, or can you become a beneficiary of these matanos? So as we already know, we saw the Gemara. Let's go over the Gemara quickly. The Gemara starts on the bottom of Kuflam and Alpha Midbeis. Ula have a yasiv matanos lekanasa. So Ula would in fact give the matanos, meaning zolachai vekeva, so he would give it to a kohenis. So eiz ve'rav leula minchas kohenis nechalas minchas kohenis nechalas. So the Gemara quotes a brisa, Rav quotes a brisa, which seems to be absolutely connected this whole principle. The brisa makes a distinction between a minchas kohen and a minchas kohenis. So we're all familiar. We know the pasuk in the Torah says that if a kohen offers a mincha, well, before we get to a kohen, if a non-kohen offers a mincha, so the mincha is dealt with as follows. You have a kemitza, a fistful of the mincha, which is taken by the kohen and burnt on the top of the mizbeach. So that is the burning of the kohenets. And the rest of the mincha, which is called the shayarim, are eaten by the zichr kohenets, eaten by male kohanim and the azara. Fine. That's the status of a regular mincha. However, the Torah says that if a kohen offers a mincha, so kula taktar, it's the entire mincha is burnt on the top of the mizbeach. So what if a kohenis is offering a mincha? So the brisa says very, very clearly, minchas kohenis ne'echelas, minchas kohenis ne'echelas, that her mincha that she's offering is ne'echelas, meaning that her mincha is not treated like a mincha that's offered by a kohen. Meaning she's a kohenis, she's not a kohen, so therefore a mincha is going to be treated like a mincha that's offered by Yisrael. So now the Gemara, so Rava formulates this question, yeah, mar kohen v'afilu kohenis v'aksivichol, minchas kohen kol tiyeh, lo se'echel. I don't understand, how could it possibly be that the mincha offered by Kohenis is allowed to be eaten? If Kohenis and the Kohen are the same, if they have the same status, so then the mincha offered by both of them should be burnt. So Amalei Rabbi Mitunech. So Rabbi says, exactly, meaning you just made my point. Aron Uvanav Ksuvim Beparsha. When it comes to a mincha's Kohen, so the Torah over there says Aron Uvanav, meaning there it is a special Gzeres HaKasav, that when it comes to a mincha, it is only going to be the mincha offered by the male Kohanim. But enachinami, throughout the rest of the halachas of Kohen Kohenes, so they are interchangeable. A Kohen works, a Kohenes works. So your kasha actually turns into raya for me. Good. So Adkan, so that takes us to the shita of Ula. Let's continue a little bit more in the Gemara. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana Kohen velo Kohenes. V'yul motzasa mena mefurash. So Debei Rabbi Shmuel says, no, it only applies to a Kohen, not to Kohenes. And yul motzasa mena mefurash. And what was clearly articulated by mincha is going to be applied to all other areas of kahuna. Presumably what Rabbi Shmuel means by that is that manus kahuna can only be given to a kohen and not to kohenes. And presumably what Rabbi Shmuel means by that is that he disagrees with Ula. Now mind you, Ula is an Amora and Rabbi Shmuel is a Tana. Hold that thought for just a moment. I'm going to come back to that. Debei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Tana kohen v'afilu kohenes. Now Debei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that no, kohen includes kohenes as well. Why? Because in the pasuk, if you look at the pasuk by the matanis, you'll see the word kohen. You'll see the word kohen repeated again. So we have a principle throughout Shas known as mirachamiyut. When the Torah gives us an exclusion followed by another exclusion, so it's like multiplying two negatives. It's not exactly the same, but right, to multiply a couple negatives, you get a positive. You have two miyutim followed one after another. So eino el rabba, so it creates a ribui. So therefore, we're going to be including the kohenis. Okay. And Adkan, that takes us to the end. Now the Gemara then afterwards talks about if you're married to a Kohenis, would you be able to accept on her behalf? The Amoraim did in fact do so, but we're going to be focusing right now on the Gemara that we just learned together. Okay. There are basically two shitas that are clear that a Kohenis can be a Mekabel, the Matnas Kohuna. That's very clear. The shita of Ula is that she can be Mekabel, and the shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, she can be Mekabel as well. Rabbi Shmuel is a little bit of a wild card. Hard to exactly put where Rabbi Shmuel stands on this issue. It is of interesting note that, first of all, the Gemara doesn't say, hey, Rabbi Shmuel is keneged Ula. The Gemara doesn't say that. So it's a little bit strange that the Gemara didn't do that. And by virtue of the fact that Rabbi Shmuel is a Tana and Ula is an Amora, admittedly, it's a little difficult to understand why the Gemara didn't do that. Although, take a look at Tosos on the Bei Rabbi Yishmael. So Tosos writes as follows: Nira, Dalama Mai Ella Beniseis Lazar. Aval Niseis came with the Achla Betruma de Chamir Koshikin Diavile Matanos. Umiu Efshe Doliavina Leila Rabbi Yishmael. So Tosos makes a suggestion. Maybe Rabbi Yishmael is just simply saying that if she's married to Yisrael, at that point in time, she will be barred and excluded from Matnas Kahuna. Or specifically from, let's just say right now, Matanas. But Lu Yitzu, if she was not married to Yisrael, then even according to Rabbi Shmuel, it would be okay. Tosfos raises that as a possibility. It's no different than Truma. We know a Bas Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. Truma has more Kedusha than that of Zola Chai Vekeva, significantly more. Zola Chai Vekeva have no Kedusha. Truma has Kedusha. If a Bas Kohen can eat Truma, so for sure she can eat Zola Chai Vekeva, and presumably she could be the recipient of it as well. So, within the Shita of Debei Rabbi Shmuel, admittedly, it's a little bit strange where exactly he fits in this discussion. Okay. But in the meantime, however, just one highlight, and that is as follows. A Bas Kohen, a Kohenes, can be the recipient of Matnas Kahuna. That part's clear. Ula says so. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov says so. And the Gemara at the conclusion, if you take a look at the bottom of Kuf Lamed Beis, Amid Beis, so the Gemara says that the halacha does in fact follow like Ula. The Gemara says it. The Gemara repeats it again on the top of Kuf Lamed Gimel, that the halacha in fact follows like Ula. The Gemara on the top of Kuf Lamed Beis says the halacha follows like Ula. Hilchasa Kavasi de Ula. I'm sorry, you didn't have to turn the Amud. Okay, apologies. Anyway, so the halacha is clearly like Ula. Kohenes can be recipient of Matanas. However, notes Rabbi Kiva Eger, that part's clear. Here's the part where it gets a little bit unclear. Now that we know that a Kohenes can be the recipient of Matanos, question. Could she be the recipient of all Matanos? Meaning there are chaf da almanos kahuna. So, can you give a Kohenes pigeon a ben? Can you give a Kohenes any of the other Matanos? So Rabbi Kiva Eger writes as follows. I brought it down over here. So he nebi shari matnos kahuna could go on pigeon a ben v'chadome. Lonis parsh dina lehedja. So we don't have clarity on this issue, writes Rabbi Kiva Eger. But here's the Talia Bazer. And Rabbi Kiva Eger says, if you ask me, I think it's going to be Talia on the Gemara that we just learned. Dila ula damar kohen bafilo kohenes b'mashma el demin mincha yeshmi yodar no vanav ksivi im kein pijan abeicha dame dami lematanus v'nosin lekohenes. So let's start with ula. So according to ula, where's the exclusion? So for ula, the exclusion is mincha. Mincha is b'nei aron v'lo Benos Aron, but that's specific to Mincha, meaning by any of the other Matanos, Kohen Kohenes are one and the same. So much like I can give a Kohenes the Matanos, I can give a Kohenes any of the other Manos Kahuna. Aval, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Darmad Avim Yerachamiyot, but let's go to the sheet of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. According to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, how's he learning it from? He's learning it from the Pasuk in Matanos, in Zor Lechai Vekeva. In that Pasuk, you have Yerachamiyot, which means that it's a special inclusion, it's a ribui, as it relates to the Matanos. But that means to say then, of course, that for any of the other Matanos, they are not the same. So, im kein, yesh lamer, didafka b'matanos, the galikra, avala ba'alma. So that means that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, where it's a special ribui by the Matanos, so there the Kohenes is going to be treated like a Kohen. But by the other Matanos, they're not going to be treated like a Kohen. The im kein, good. So now what Rabbi Kiva Eger has is that this question of whether or not the Kohenes could be the recipient of other Matanos is going to be taluy on which of the drushas you're going to favor. Are you going to favor the drush of Ula or are you going to favor the drush of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? So if you're following the drush of Ula, so then Enachinami, Kohen Kohenes are the same. The only exception is going to be the Mincha. If you're following the drush of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so then no, Kohen Kohenes are not the same. And the only time that they're included is going to be my Matanos because of the ribui. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger goes on. V'inkein l'fi maskanas tamina v'hilchasa ke'ula. Now you'll notice the Gemara says that the halacha is following like ula. So what does that mean? L'chor, that means that when the Gemara is paskening the halacha, the Gemara is paskening not only is that a Kohen is going to be like a Kohen, but Ula's version, which means that she could be the recipient of the other Matanos as well. Mimela degam b'shar Matanos kehuna hachihu. Now, Zulus de Nitzchak, da halacha kula v'lo mitame. Now, Rabbi Kiva Eger says that if you want, you can give a forced pshat. He says, I'm not ready to hear it, but you could say a forced pshat in the Gemara. You could say that the Gemara paskins like Ula, but not based on the svara of Ula. You could say that, but he says, I'm really not compelled to say that. Now it works out well because the Gemara in Kedushin talks about Rav Kahana, the non-Kohen Rav Kahana, right? Multiple Rav Kahanas. The non-Kohen Rav Kahana, so he received Pidgin Aben on account of his wife. Pidgin Aben, obviously we're not talking about Zolachai the Keva. We're talking about Shar Matanos. And he received it on behalf of his wife. Afshar de mehai time anakat Rashi, b'chulim b'ahid de Rav Kahana, de'achu b'shvil ishto de'kohen afilo kohenes mashma. Rashi over there says, why? Because Kohen and Kohenes are the same. The Aminan, the Mehechem Psikala Rashi is there. Dilma time at the Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, Davi Meir Echamir. El de Mehi de Kedushin, de Shachal Sujan, Lepijan Aben, Muchach de Rav Kahanes, Firlei de Gam Bishar Matanos, Kain. In fact, the Gemara in Kedushin can be a raya that the version that is accepted is the Ula version that's accepted, meaning that a Kohen and Kohenes are one and the same in terms of being the recipients. Vahinda de Savar Kuula, Vechanal. Okay. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says that I think our Gemara is mistaber that it passes like Ula. The Gemara in Kedushin that describes Rav Kahana accepting Pidgin Aben because his wife was a Kohenis, also subscribing to the Ula version. He writes on Verizabit Pnei Yeshua Kedushin the Tamal Tosos Hanal the Dafka Bamatanos the Galikra Valoba Alma. Now the Pnei Yeshua over there in Kedushin points out he doesn't understand Tosos. How can you tell me that a Kohenis can be the recipient of Pidgin Aben? What about our Gemara? And Rabbi Kiva Eger says, V'niflesi. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, I don't understand the comment of the Pnei Yeshua. D'nihid l'Rav Elazar ben Yaakov hachihu. It's true. According to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov version, so he's making a good point, but we don't accept that. Avala u'la ha'lek alimu b'matanos. Ela mitzvar d'koin afilu koin es mashma. Okay, so he points out that that l'chora, if we do in fact adopt the u'la version, so then that would mean that koin es would apply to Shar Matanos as well, not just limited to Zor L'Chai V'Keva. Okay, so that first note, first point, and that is Rabbi Kiva Eger's comment to Safek in terms of when we're saying that a Kohenis can be included in Zor L'Chai V'Keva, which is the Gemara's conclusion, is that limited to Zor L'Chai V'Keva, or does that also include Shar Matanos as well? L'chora, it's going to be talu on the machlokas between Ula and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in terms of how the limud is extracted. Okay, that is... that's the first topic, short, sweet, right to the point. Okay. By the way, Rabbi Kiva Eger notes that a number of the Rishonim seem to indicate more like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov than that of Ula. Okay. Let's move ahead. Okay. Our next big topic that we're going to be covering the course of this afternoon is the following. So over the course of our Gemara, so we kept hearing a refrain throughout, which is Matnosh lo homo kemisho homo damyan. Okay. Now at first, simple glance, what it means is as follows. When I have matanos, let's start off with Trumas HaMaisos. I know it's not our topic, but it's the easiest way to describe it. So let's start off with Trumas HaMaisos. Now, when it comes to Trumas HaMaisos, so how does it work? So you're on the farm, you take your produce, you bring it in, your Meiriach HaSakri, you smooth out the top, so now you know exactly how much you have, and now that is it's what's called an Halacha Tevel. Okay, and as Tevel, so who's allowed to eat Tevel? The answer, of course, is nobody. Nobody's allowed to eat Tevel. Tevel's usur. It's for someone to eat Tevel, it's a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim. And so in the state of Tevel, so no one's allowed to eat it. Now, what is Tevel? So Tevel right now is untithed produce. And you have to take off Trumas HaMaisos. When you take off Trumas HaMaisos, so now you're misakin as a Tevel. Now you've corrected it, you fixed it. So the Truma you take off, you give to the Kohen, to Maisa you give to the Levi, etc., etc. Okay. So, there is a concept which is discussed throughout Shas, and our Perek is also a central location that discusses it, is Matanos lo humu kemisho humu damyan. That, let's say you didn't take off the Matanos. So that means that the Matanos, Trumas HaMaisos, they're sitting inside the Kri, they're sitting inside the produce, and they're latent. They haven't yet revealed themselves. Now, they're going to be revealed when you are mafresh at Trumas HaMaisos. So, can we say in Halacha, Matanosh lo humu kemisho humu damyan. Do we say that even though they are existing right now in a latent state, can I at least see the potential? Can I look at it as if they are there and in existence? Okay. It's a very conceptual idea, a very abstract idea. How does it play out in halacha? It plays out many different ways in halacha. Good. Our Gemara, let's review our Gemara. I know we did this already last week, but our Gemara discussed it in the following context. Tashma, this is now the Gemara in Kuf Lamed Amud Beis. Rav Yehuda ben Beser Omer Mishpat. Malam Mishah Matanus Din. When describing the Zor L'chai V'keva, so the Torah uses the word Mishpat. And the Brisa says, it's Din. Now, what does that mean? Yachal Afilu Chaz V'shok Din, Tam Lomer Zev. No. Chaz V'shok is not Din, only Matanus is Din. Okay, good. That's the Brisa. So, Lamai. Now, in terms of giving it out and giving it to the right Kohanim, and by that, the Gemara taught us that it means that you should look for a Kohen Tamachacham, not a Kohen Amaretz. So in terms of making the proper distributions to the proper Kohanim, so there's no difference between Chaz V'Shok and Zor L'Chai V'Keva. It's all the same. So that can't be the Pshat and the Braisa. There's no difference if we were talking about being Cholek. So alalav lahotzi b'dayanim. So what it must mean is the following, that in the event that there is litigation, because some kohen feels that he was deserved of the matanos and he hasn't received it, and now he's ready to take him to court, so lachora, that's what the brisa means. Now again, we know this brisa was, the whole Gemara was being discussed in the context of Rav Chista. Rav Chista says that you can't litigate over matanos. Okay, go back to what we talked about last week. So the Gemara says no. Hacha b'mayiskin and dasa liyadei. So the Gemara says no. We're talking about a scenario in which the matanos already arrived in the possession of the kohen, which means to say now that the kohen is actually the muchzak on the matanos. And now what we're saying is as follows, that once the kohen is the muchzak on the matanos, so now if somebody takes it from him, so obviously now we're talking about gzela, and now you can go to court. So the Gemara says, really, that's the pshat in the braisa. So if we're talking about a case where it got to the hands of the kohen, my lamemra. So we are no longer saying any chiddush whatsoever. Here's our big chiddush. If the matanos get to the hands of the kohen, so now it belongs to him, anyone who takes is the ganav. We would have known that well before the braisa introduced it to us. So the Gemara gives a chiddush. The asli yadei b'tivlayhu. So what happened is that when you gave it to the kohen, you gave it to him in the state of tevel. It was latent. Now, I'm going to go over that word again in just a moment, but right now I'll say it like the Gemara says it. Asuli yadei b'tavlayu. I gave it to him in an untithed state. V'kasav Aitana, the author of the Tana, is teaching us the following chiddush: Matana shelo hurmu kemishu hurmu damyan. And even though you weren't mafresh shumos amaisros, but still we're going to subscribe to the principle that matana shelo hurmu kemishu hurmu damyan. That even though the Trumas and Maisos were not taken off. Now, again, I'm using those words loosely because I know we're talking about an animal and we're going to come back to that in just a moment. But because the Matanas were, even though they weren't taken off, the Halacha allows us to see them as if they were already taken off. So that means to say that if the Kohen is now receiving the full animal, and even though the Zor L'Chai V'Keva are not Mufrash from the animal, nevertheless, we're going to see it as if they were already Mufrash. And so therefore now we're going to consider him to be the Bailim on the Zor L'Chai V'Keva. Ad kan divrei Gemara, we all know it. We're all familiar with the Gemara. We already saw that. We already saw the Gemara numerous times. And the Gemara introduces this idea, Matnas Lohormu, a number of times in this parak. Okay. Let's do it like this. Let's learn together Gemara Baba Basra, and you'll see the direction we're headed. Tana Rabban, the Gemara Baba Basra. This is Daf Kuf Chav Gimel Baba Basra. This is talking about Yerusha. Okay, just as a bit, as just a brief introduction. Yerusha, right? The father dies, so his sons are going to inherit his estate. The boys are going to be inheriting his estate. Now, of course, if there's a bechor, so that means that the bechor is going to get pishnayim. The bechor is going to get two times what everyone else is going to get. Just a couple of halachas that you need to know in order to appreciate and understand the Gemara in terms of the bechor's pishnayim. The Bechor gets Pishnayim, he gets two times more than the other brothers. So first of all, just as a mathematical point, so he's getting 2x, meaning if there's more than, let's say, two brothers, so you take all the brothers, you take all the estate, and you figure out how much of the estate is, and you divide the estate by one more number than the number of brothers that there are. So in other words, everyone's going to get x, and the Bechor is going to get 2x. Okay? If you remember algebra, you love that. Otherwise, you can ignore that. In the meantime, however, the one thing that you do have to know about the Bechor and his Pishnayim is that the Bechor's Pishnayim is going to be only from the estate that's currently held by the father when he died. Meaning, if there is any future receivable that's going to come into the estate, and let's say it's a shtar chov, let's say the father was a kohen, and there were matanos that were due to him. If there's any future receivable that's not included towards the pishnayim, obviously that's still part and parcel of the estate, meaning that will come into the estate and that will be divided amongst the brothers, but the bechor is not going to be entitled to pishnayim of future holdings, of future assets. He's only going to be receiving current holdings at the time of the death of the father. Hopefully that was clear. The Gemara Darshan is that based on Pesukim. Okay. So with that stated, so let's see the Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara in Baba Basra discusses the following Tanur Rabbanan, HaBechor Noto Pishnayim B'Zor L'Chai V'Keva. So the Bechor is going to get Pishnayim of the Zor L'Chai V'Keva, meaning that was a Kohen. Now, Uva Mukdashim, Uva Sheva Sheshavchu Nechasim L'Achar Misas Aviyam, Keitza Ninich Lehem Aviyam Parah Mukhreches Muskeres B'Yadacherim, O Shaisa Ro Be'efer, V'Yalda, Bechor Noto Pishnayim. Now, I'm not going to go through the entire Brisa right now in terms of all the other details mentioned in the Brisa because I really just want to focus on Zor L'Chai V'Keva. So I'll just keep everything right now limited to the first halacha that's mentioned in the Brisa, that the Bechor is going to be receiving Pishnaim of the Zor L'Chai V'Keva. Now, let's think this through. What exactly is the case? The Gemara wants to understand. Hi Zor L'Chai V'Keva, Hechidami. What exactly is going on over here? Ide Asli Yedei Avohon. Pshita. If the father already was the recipient of the Zor L'Chai V'Keva, so before he died, again, the father's a Kohen, so then a Dover Pasha, obviously. So the father now, before he died, was the Muchzak on the Zor L'Chai V'Keva. It's part of the estate. And so now, obviously, the Bechor is going to get Pishnaim of that. And despite the fact that it's a quirky halacha, but it's not a Chiddush. So and let's say the father never actually received it. So if the father never actually received it, and even though it comes at a later point in time, so that's what's called a future holding. So ra'uhu. So that falls under the category of ra'ui, and that is not part of pishnayim. And that's just simply not what the pishnayim includes. It doesn't include future assets. So what exactly is going on over here in the Braisa when it comes to Zor L'Chai V'Keva? So Hachas, so the Gemara over there, Baba Basra says as follows. Ben Makiri Kahuna Askinan. So we're talking about Makiri Kahuna. Makiri Kahuna, the idea is as follows. Generally speaking, as we discussed last week, when it comes to you and your matanos that you are now ready to give to a Kohen, so you have what's called Tovas Hana. You can decide which Kohen to give it to. And if a Kohen comes, knocks on your door and asks for it, you can say, no, I don't want to give it to you. I want to give it to another Kohen. You have the total right and executive decision to include or exclude whichever Kohen you want. However, if let's say you have a long-standing relationship with a Kohen where you've been giving this Kohen your Matnos Kahuna all this time, so that Kohen falls under the category of what's called Makiri Kahuna. Right? You and him have a very close relationship. And so it's understood that this is the Kohen that you're going to give it to. Under those circumstances, now he has a certain zechus in order to receive the Matnos Kahuna, because he knows it's going to him. Everybody knows it's going to him. That's been the minhag for, I don't know. Quite frankly, I don't know how long it takes to get the status of Makiri Kahuna. But there's such an idea. So the Gemara says over here that the father who died fell under this category of Makiri Kahuna. Now, Udi Ishtachet Bechayda Avahon. We're going to make another important point, says the Gemara in Baba Basra, and that is the animal was shechted before the father died. So here we are now at the point of death where the animal was in the Yisrael's ownership. The animal was shechted before the father died, the father's the Kohen. And at that point in time now, the father can be considered the muchzuk on the Zor L'Chai V'Keva. And then the Gemara adds one more point. And kasav ramanu she'lo hurmu kimishu hurmu damu. And the Gemara says, and we're going to have to add one more point, and that is that these matanos, even though they weren't given to the Kohen, but Matana Shalor Humu, even though they were not separated, Kamisha Humor Dami, so nevertheless, we're going to view them as if they are already separated. Okay. Icon Divrei Gemara Baba Basra. Okay. So here you have another application of this idea of Matana Shalor Humu in the context of a Kohen receiving the Matanos with the ability to yarshin it to his children. And because the Brisa over here is focusing on the Bechor and the Pishnayim, So what we're learning together now is that the Kohen who was a father is a muchzak on this, even though he didn't actually receive it. Okay. Go to the next page on the Yemar Mekamos. Okay. This next point is said by a number of Rishonim. It's said by Rabbi Yonah, and Baba Basra is said by the Ritva, and Baba Basra. If you take the time reading the Rabbi Yonah in its entirety, so what you'll notice is that it's like super repetitive in nature. And as I was reading it, I'm like, I'm reading it, I read it again, and I just noticed, it's like, how come he's going over the entire point again? So I was happy. I saw in the notes over here, so he writes that in this Rabbi Yonah, it's actually a couple of defusim, a couple of editions of Rabbi Yonah. And so whoever published it, so he basically took the two different editions and he kind of just put them together. And so, yes, it's going to be repetitive in nature because they were two different editions that were kind of put together in one piece. So we'll make the point one time. I won't read it to you twice. Rabbi Yonah writes as follows. Kasever matan shalahuma kemishu medamin tema. Rabbi Yonah asks a very simple, straightforward question. My shayach lamemer linya zor lachai v'keva kemo shahurmu. Kevin shenikarim b'mkomum kemufarashim v'omdim damin. Rabbi Yonah says, I understand every single point of the Gemara and Baba Basra except for the last point. Meaning, what are we trying to do in the Gemara and Baba Basra? We're kind of trying to create a new kimta in which the Kohen is going to be a muchzak in the Matanos before he dies, so that we understand why it is that the Bechor is going to get Pishnayim. That part we get. Can't we say all that without having to resort to that last point of the Gemara? The last good part of the Gemara is, and make sure everyone understands, Matan Shelo Hormu Kemisho Hormu Damya. Rabbeinu Yonah says, I didn't need that last step. Why? He says it beautifully. He says, Kevin Shenikarim B'Mekomam, because Ezro L'Chai V'Keva, we all know which part of the animal goes to the Kohen. The Torah identifies. You're looking at the animal, and you see the animal, and you know exactly, that part's for me, and the leg, and the keva, and the jaw, that part goes to the Kohen. So why do we have to come on to Matana Shalohum or Kemisha Hormu Damyan? They're right there. They're mufrash already. Even if they haven't been physically removed, can't we simply say they're right there? I understand by Trumas HaMaisos, it's a tremendous chiddush. Because despite the fact that it is, it's not been separated, and when the pile of grain is in front of you, which part of Trumas HaMaisos? Any part of it is eligible. You're going to take off a percentage, but it's not clear which percentage you're going to take, which part you're going to take. So by Trumas HaMaisos, the principle of Matan Shelo Hormu, I understand, represents a tremendous chiddush. Over here, what's the chiddush? Dechoz man shelo kar shem ein chelak ha-kohen ikar ve'ein shem truma alav ela tevel. Right, so by produce, I understand. The whole thing's called tevel. I'm going to be mafresh Trumas HaMaisos. Could be any part of it, which is going to be mufresh. And to there say that the Matan Shelo Hormu kemisha hormi damyan, that's a chiddush. So let's say, for example, that a person inherits tevel from his grandfather. His grandfather was a Kohen. It's a maternal grandfather. And so that means that he's not a Kohen. Well, he doesn't necessarily have to be a Kohen. Let's say he's not a Kohen. And he inherited from his grandfather. So his grandfather had the tevel, but his grandfather is also a Kohen. If we say Matan Shelo Hormu Kemisha Hormi Damyan, so then we could say that the Trumas HaMaisos are there, Shaykh to the grandfather because he's a Kohen, and now you get to keep it. Avahai lo Shaykh lo Rebbe Matanos. It's not Shaykh to talk that way by Matanos. Kevin Shini Karim. You can see exactly where the Matanos are. So let's think this through, writes Rabbi Yonah. Why do I have to come on to the principle of Matan Shelo Hormu Kemisha Hormi Damyan when it comes to Matanos? By tevel and grain and produce, I totally get it. It hasn't been identified yet. Matan Shelo Hormu is a chiddush. by the Zola Chai V'keva, we don't need to guess which part's going to the Kohen. We know exactly which part's going to the Kohen. Why can't we just simply say, it's Mufrash Ve'Omed. It's just simply separated already. And Rabbeinu Yonah now offers the following as a Chiddush. V'nir ve'enai perusha shel davar kachu. Kasavar matan shelohumu v'chule shem matanus aleihem af api shelohumu. Hilkach I atal I asal yad de kohen betivlayu zacha behem ve'en balabai zachol otzim yad de shem matanus aleihem. When I use the principle of matanus shelohumu, so basically what I'm doing is I'm giving status to the matnos kahuna. Prior to the hafrasha, even though I know exactly what they are, they don't have the status of matanos. And what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to be mafresh them in order to give them the shame matanos. Now he says this idea a number of times. But if I subscribe to the idea that matanos shelohumu is lav kemisha hormu damyan, you see, even if I have a makiri kahuna and I know which kohen it's going to go to, it doesn't have the status of matana as of yet. It needs to get the status of a matana. And it's not going to have the status of matana until you're mafresh them and until you give them to the kohen. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, that when it comes to even the matanos of an animal, where I know what the parts are, still, even though I know exactly what's going to be given to the Kohen, it is not considered matanos until I mafresh them. Now that's strange, meaning you mafresh them, you know exactly what it is. Correct. But you still have to give it a shem matana. It still has to have a shem matana, and it needs the hafrash in order to receive the shem matana. And only when I subscribe to the idea of matanos shelohumu kemisha hormu damyan, is it able to get the status of Shem Matana? Otherwise, it's simply not a Matana. That is Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, I told you, you can go on to the Rabbeinu Yonah. It's going to sound repetitive from this point going forward. What you're looking at now from that point going forward is now the second defus, which basically makes the same point, and that is the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah. That in order for the Matanas to have a status of Matanas, to get a Shem Matana, so you need to be Mafreshit, even though you know exactly where it is. The Ritva on the same Gemara Baba Basra does not necessarily agree. In fact, seemingly he argues. He doesn't quote Rabbeinu Yonah, but seemingly he disagrees. The Ritva writes on the same Gemara Baba Basra, I'm looking at the second paragraph, Anachon Shezeh Lashon Mushalhu. The Ritva writes that when the Gemara uses the words Matnos Shelohumu Kemisha Hormu Damyan, it's a borrowed language, meaning don't read the Gemara so critically and so specifically over there. It just simply means that because we know exactly which matanos it is, it's as if it's already been separated. It's just an expression, writes the Ritva, but don't take the Gemara literally. The Gemara does not mean it over here like it means it in other areas of Matnas Kahuna. When it comes to Shumas and Maestros, that comes from Tevel, so there, obviously, it represents a Chiddush. But by Matanas, it doesn't represent a Chiddush because we know exactly which part's going to the Kohen. Effectively, what just happened over here in the Gemara is as follows. We have the interesting, we have an interesting divide between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ritva in terms of how to look at the Matanas. Specifically, Zor L'Chai V'Keva. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, when we're talking about the matanos need a shem matana. Even though I know exactly which parts are going to the Kohen, nevertheless, it still needs to gain status. How do you gain status? It's actually very simple. I take them, I mafresh them, and I designate them to give them to the Kohen. At that point in time, it has a shem matana. Prior to that point in time, it doesn't have the shem matana. You know exactly what it is that's going to go to the Kohen. That's true. But you still need to give it a status. If I subscribe to the idea of Matnos Shelohumu Kemisha Hormu Damyan, that provides the status. It gives it that status. So that's good. So then you understand how in the case of Baba Basra, the father of the Kohen ends up being on the Muchzak. But if I don't subscribe to the idea of Matnos Shelohumu Kemisha Hormu Damyan, so that means to say that it doesn't gain the status, it doesn't have the status of Shem Matana, and as a result of that, it simply we know it's going to go to the Kohen, but it doesn't have status yet. It doesn't have the Shema Tana. Masha'enikein, according to the Ritva, not necessarily, no. It just happens to be that we know exactly what the Matanas are. We know it's going to the Kohen. The Gemara, using the expression Matana Shalohumo, it's lav dafka. It just simply means that because we know where they are, so therefore, by definition, the Kohen's considered the Mochsak. Now again, if it's not Makirei Kohuna, so then we have obviously the question of who the Kohen's going to be. But if it's a question of Makirei Kohuna, which the Gemara Baba Basra gives the Ukimta, so then by definition, the Kohen automatically becomes the Mochsak. Okay. This idea of the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ritva may play out in our Gemara. Okay, this idea I got from Rav Chanan. I quote the Rav Chanan inside. But take a look at the Gemara. Gemara in Kuf Lamed Beis. The Gemara we've done also together. Amar Rabba Bar Bachan Amar Rav Yochanan Asa Lechol Me Behema Shalohumu Manoseha. Okay. Are you allowed to eat an animal before you mafresh the matanos? So Rav Yochanan says no. In fact, he says more than no. It's Asa. And Amar Rabba Bar Bachan Amar Rav Yochanan. Gemara goes on. Kola Ochel. In fact, he goes even a step further. If you eat from the animal before taking off the matanos, so it's like you're eating tevel. And then the Gemara adds three more words. But the halacha doesn't go like Rav Yochanan. Okay. So this halacha of Rav Yochanan, as it is originally presented, now the Gemara seems to reject out of hand. A simple rejection would mean that we don't subscribe to Rav Yochanan at all. Meaning that according to the Gemara Maskana, you should give the matanos over to the Kohen first, meaning that's the mitzvah, but if you don't, it's okay. That's you failed on doing the mitzvah properly, but seemingly it would be okay. Now there's a really interesting Tosfos that comes up also in our Perek, and Tosfos writes as follows. Tosfos, remember, the Gemara went through 9 Matnos Kahuna. Rashi says it's not 9, it's really 15. Tosfos has a different gear, so the Gemara says it's not 15, it's not 9, the number is 7. And Tosfos says, how are we organizing 7 of the 24? But so Tosfos writes, V'lo chashiv hacha kol chavdal matanos kahuna dechashiv lakamen bepirkin, de'lo chashiv hacha elahanach de'asurin lezarim, ve'hein amon kohen. So over here we're talking about the 7 matanos, which would be asur to a zar, and they are considered mamon kohen. So that's how we get to the number 7. So Tosfos is bothered. You know, one of the 7 that's mentioned in the Braisa is matanos. So Tosfos says, yeah, it belongs there. V'had dechashiv matanos. So how do the matanos fit in there? Afa pishu mutaros lazarim. Now it's true that a zar is allowed to eat the matanos. The matanos do not have kedusha. Mishum de tavlei. So Tosfos says, because it's considered tevel. The matanos are considered tevel. Prior to the hafrasha, it's considered tevel. V'dam l'truma, k'dam l'kaman. Now it's just like truma. Now, af agav de leis ilchasa. Now Tosfos says, now, I'm being a little bit misleading, because that is the shita of Rav Yochanan, but the Gemara rejects the shita of Rav Yochanan. Tosfos says, no, not necessarily. The only thing the Gemara rejected is the chomer of Rav Yochanan. How machmir Rav Yochanan's being. Rav Yochanan says that if you eat the animal prior to the hafrasha, so it's ki'ilu you're eating tevel. The only thing the Gemara is rejecting when the Gemara says v'leis ilchasa kavasei is that you're not eating tevel, but it's still aser. So Tosfos offers that as a pshat in the Gemara, even on the conclusion of Valeis Hilchos HaKavase. The halacha does not fall like Rav Yochanan. Tosfos says, it kind of does. It's just that you're not eating tevel. It's not the chomer of eating tevel. It's not Misa Bidei Shamayim, but it's still an Isser. Okay. And the degree of the Isser, by the way, I quote the Pri Chadash, I'm not going to go over the Pri Chadash right now. The degree of the Isser, you can see the Pri Chadash inside. So he says over... He discusses to what degree would be Aser within the sheet of Tosfos. The Rambam clearly does not agree with Tosfos. The Rambam writes, "Behemah shalohurmu manaseh mutal lechol mimenu." That if I have an animal and I was not mafresh the matanos, it's totally permitted to eat from the animal. Look at the lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam says, of course it's not tevel. Because unlike tevel, where I don't know where the Trumas HaMaisos is, over here I know exactly where it is. So it's mamish, the Rambam does not subscribe to this idea of Tosfos at all. In fact, the Rambam, Kipshuto, when the Gemara says, Leisilchas HaKavasei, it's a total rejection of Rav Yochanan. Okay. What's this machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos? So Lechora, the machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos, is going back to with the Rabbeinu Yonah that we learned together. Meaning, what did the Rabbeinu Yonah teach us? Rabbeinu Yonah taught us that, despite the fact that the matanos are clear and evident exactly where they are, but they have a status, and they need a shem matana, and in order to be mafresh them, and in order to give them to the Kohen, I first have to be mafresh them in order to give them the status of the shem matana. Meaning that there's some sort of tevel aspect to the matanos, in which I have to, even though I know exactly where it is, I know exactly what I'm doing, I still have to be mafresh it in order to give it the shem matanos. And prior to that, l'chora, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, I know Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't say this, and obviously he's not making this connection, but l'chora, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, prior to me giving it the status of matanos, what it means by that is that it's a form of tevel prior to that. And by me being mafresh and giving it the status of matanos, so then and only then, is it going to be chulin? Means the rest of the animal is going to be chulin. Okay? So in other words, so this idea of Tosfos, where Tosfos says there's still an isser, if I don't separate the Trumas HaMaisos, lechora is going to be going like the Rabbeinu Yonah. On the other hand, the Rambam says that no. In other words, because the matanos are muvdalim, the lashon of the Rambam, because the matanos are muvdalim, so that means to say that we don't have to do any form of hafrasha. The hafrasha is already done for us. We know exactly what is for me. We know exactly what's for the Kohen. No hafrasha is necessary. There's no aspect of tevel to it whatsoever. And so that's it. Meaning, the parts that go to the Kohen go to the Kohen. The parts that remain by me remain by me. I don't have to give anything status. Which means that when the Gemara says, Leisilcha sakavasei de Rav Yochanan, the halacha doesn't fall like Rav Yochanan, meaning it means that the halacha does not follow at all like Rav Yochanan, because literally everything is already pre-selected and pre-separated. Okay. So let's quickly chazer. The first thing we discussed is the Kohenis, whether or not she is going to be eligible for the matanos. She is. The suffix of Rabbi Kiva Eger, is that going to be true for other matanos as well? Rabbi Kiva Eger has it as part of the machlokus between Ula and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the Gemara. The second topic, matanos shelo homer kamisha homer damyan. So certainly by Trumas HaMaisos, so hopefully I was very clear. By produce, it's obviously a big chiddush. It's a chiddush gadol. Because I don't know which part is going to be Trumas HaMaisos until I actually separate it. And to say that the latent Trumas HaMaisos are considered there, even though I haven't separated, that represents a Chiddush. Are we going to say the same thing by the Matanos, by Zor L'chai V'keva? So based on the Gemara Baba Basra, based on the Rabbeinu Yonah, so it's going to be very similar. In other words, Rabbeinu Yonah has this lashon that you need to give it a Shem Matana. Meaning even though you know exactly what it is, but you need to give it a Shem Matana. And if you have not given a Shem Matana, Mamish doesn't have status. It doesn't have the status of Shem Matana. Even the Makire Kohen can't be considered the Mukhzak on it until you give it a status of a Shem Matana. That's the Shita of Rabbeinu Yonah, and that's the Pshat that he gives in the Gemara Baba Basra. That's why the Gemara Baba Basra says that you need the principle of Manash Lohurma Kamisha Rabindami. On the other hand, the Ritva says, no, don't get so excited about the Lashon. The Lashon over there is just a borrowed language. In other words, but you don't need it, meaning that because we know exactly what it is, by default, it's going to go to the Kohen, and I don't need to give it any kind of status. And l'chora, this machlos between Rabbeinu Yonah and Ritva, is really going to also play out in terms of Tosos and the Rambam. Meaning, when Rabbi Yochanan says that if you eat prior to the hafrasha of the matanos, so are you going? Is there going to still be some sort of iser? Tosos is mechadish, yeah, there's still going to be an iser. And the Rambam says, no, there's no iser. And l'chora, it's the same machlokas, meaning according to Tosfos, there's going to be an iser because you have to give the Zor L'chai V'keva you have to call it a shame. There's a kriya shame. And prior to that, it's a form of tevel. Tosfos, admittedly, does not say it's tevel gamor, but it's a form of tevel. And when you are then mafresh the trumas amaisro, so I should say better. When you're mafresh the matano, so now the rest of it, only then is the rest of it going to be eligible and edible. Masha'inkin, according to the Rambam, no. Zerola chai v'keva is fundamentally different, like the Ritva. It's fundamentally different. It's already mufrash. It's already muvdal. I know exactly what it is. I don't need to do hafrasha. I know which parts for me. I know which parts for the Kohen. No hafrasha is necessary. Everything's clear. And so that means, according to the Rambam, there's mamish, no iser, by eating the rest of the animal, even prior to your quote-unquote hafrasha.